Friday the 15th of May, Kof Aleph Iyar, with Yankee Wiesenfeld, the Tochacha, Who Wants This Aliyah?
I'd like to express my Akros HaTorah to thank Torahway for giving me this opportunity today to share the Dvar HaLocha with you, Le'enishas Ma'ashver Zecharon Yavrocha. It's Yortzeit today, the 13th Yortzeit, Rav Afroy official of Rav Yehilari Zecharon Yavrocha. And we hope he'll be Amelis Yosha for his Almon Lavde Bechaim L'chaim, for the Mishpocha, and for God's Klal Yisrael, including everybody here. After Dudi's finished Moyos Shabbos, I'm giving tikkun here, so anybody who is able to stay should come and share in the L'chaim. And for those of you listening over the airwaves, it'll have to be a virtual tikkun. We have two Toichokos in the Torah. We have two parshas in the Torah where the Torah gives us severe warnings, threats, curses, speaks about the consequences of Avera. And these are parshas that many people are not very keen on, and it's discussed a lot in Halacha and Imin Hogim as to who's going to get the Aliyah for this. And there are many Baalei Kriya who feel that somehow or other they're ending up with a raw deal, because it's a minhag in many shuls that you give the Aliyah to the Baal Koira. And the Baal Koira might be forgiven for thinking, you know, that this is the best that the Kehillah can do for me. Every week I prepare and I come and I light, etc., etc., and then I end up with the Aliyah that nobody else wants. But I hope, Mi'atz Hashem, that after we've had our discussion today, that there'll be a little bit more of an appreciation of what the situation is, and that maybe the Baalei Kriya amongst us and anybody else who gets this Aliyah might feel a little bit better. Another thing I just want to say by way of Hakdoma is that there is a minhag in Klal Yisrael to speak Beloshon Saginor. It's a minhag which is based in Halacha, it's a minhag that goes back to Chazal in the Gemara, which is to speak Beloshon Saginor, that we speak in riddles or we speak in euphemisms rather than mention things like klolos. Very often when somebody is speaking about klola, he'll use the word brocha, bimkoim klola. And similarly, when the Gemara sometimes speaks that something should happen to Soneim Shal Yisrael, to our enemies, when really the Gemara is talking about Klal Yisrael, but doesn't want to mention that the effect of the klola should happen to Klal Yisrael. Therefore, instead of Yisrael, the Gemara uses the expression Soneim Shal Yisrael. Now, that is very good, and it's very proper, and as we'll see later on, we'll see a makor for it. But in this shir, it wouldn't be practical, because we'd all get confused, myself included. Especially because we're going to be discussing about making a brocha on the klola. Now, there's Bechas HaTorah on the parsha of the klolis. So if we start substituting the word klola for brocha, and Yisrael for Sanhedrin Yisrael, we would all get confused, I would certainly get mixed up. And therefore today, we will be saying Devorim Kavios on klolis a klolis, brochas a brochas. The final halakdoma that I want to say is that there is a large body of halacha and minhagim that have built up over the years as to how to handle this aliyah. And there are poskim who criticize very severely some of the minhagim, which seem very strange, and even seem kineged mefurash chazal. And I will be mentioning one or two of those in the course of this year. All I want to say is that minhag shel Yisrael is Torahi. Nobody should deviate from their own minhag. Whatever the minhagim that grew up and the halachas that grew up over the generations were made by Gedolim, Yireim, Ushleimim, and they had reasons, sometimes reasons that we do understand, sometimes reasons that we can't appreciate. And therefore, despite anything that you hear today, they shouldn't cast any sort of aspersion on the minhag that you hear in your shul tomorrow. We follow the minhagim, sorry, I was saying biyodeinu, every shul has a role. So we'll start off with a few initial premises, and after that we'll be able to move on to examining some of the minhagim. The first thing that Chazal say is Moshe tikkun lahem liYisrael, that Moshe Rabbeinu made a takona for Klal Yisrael to line the parsha every week. Whether you finish the Torah once in 3 years, you finish the Torah once in a year, or but there was a takona Moshe Rabbeinu Olavah Shalom to line the Sedra every week, and to already in the days of the Mishnah they made a brocha Tchilo and a brocha Lesoif. Asher Bochabonu was the Birchas HaTorah of before the lining. Asher Nosalot Torah Semes afterwards. Although Bisman HaMishnah, there was only one brocha at the beginning of the Sedra and one brocha at the end of the Sedra. Asher Bochabonu was the first, and Asher Nosalot Torah Semes was at the end of the Sedra. And then you called up seven people, and those seven people didn't make brochas, but they lined. So the Shiva Kruim were the people who came and they actually lined from the Sedra, but the Broch Bichas HaTorah was one at the beginning and one at the end. Says the Brisa in Masechta Sofrim, and it's Musa, Yerushalmi, and Megillah, that there were four exceptions to that. In every sedra in the Torah, there was one bracha at the beginning and a bracha at the end, except for four exceptions. The Brayta in Maseches Sofrim says two of them are the two Toichachos, the Toichacha that we'll light tomorrow in Parshas Bechukosai, and the Toichacha that we'll light in Parshas Bechukosai, and the Shira Sayam, the Shira, was another exception, and the Aseres HaDibros. Those Parshas, even be Meha Mishnah, those Parshas have their own bracha, Tchila Basof. So you'd line a Pashtus, the way I understand it, I'm not 100% clear, is that you'd have a Shebach Avonim Mikolo Amim at the beginning of the Sedra, and then you'd call up somebody for the Toichocha, let's say. He would say Ashebach Abonu on that, and Asher Nosanonu at the end. Then you continue to the end of the Sedra, and Asher Nosanonu at the very end. That's the way I understand it. I haven't seen it specifically spelled out. It could be maybe that the first person finished off Asher Nosanonu, then they land Toichocha, I'm not sure. So, the Kaf HaChaim and the Knesset HaGdoila and others for him say, who did they give these four special aliyahs to? They gave these four special aliyahs to the Rav. And the it explains why in the Shira Sayam specifically, Aseres HaDibros, in the Teichocha it says that they gave these aliyahs always to the Rav, because the Rav was the one who is Roy Lo'echiach. He is the one who's fitting. From him we can accept rebuke. Whereas if it gave it to Tama Balabos, and he's standing there, and he's warning Klal Yisrael, if you don't keep the mitzvahs, all these terrible things will happen, then maybe Klal Yisrael would not be becabel from him that Teichocha. The next thing we have to know is the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Lamed Aleph. The Gemara says, Ein mafsikin biklolos, that you're not allowed to make a hosofa in the middle of the Teichocha. And the Gemara says the reason for that is, and it's brought to Shulchan Aruch, and that is the halacha, that there is a machlokes about the Teichocha in Kisova, is whether or not if you need a hosofa, you can stop there. But l'chula alma, the Teichocha tomorrow in Parshas Bechukosai has to be lined as one unit from the beginning to the end without any hosofas. Says the Gemara, why? So the Gemara says, because the pasuk says in Mishle that Musa Hashem b'ni al tibos, we have an issa to reject or to dissociate ourselves from Teichocha. A person has to be willing to accept Teichocha. A person has to be willing to hear Teichocha and to better his ways, to think over what he's heard, and then to improve and do teshuvah. And therefore, the Gemara says, if you were to be mafsik miklolos, then it would work out like this, that somebody gets an aliyah, and he starts the Kriyas HaTorah, and in the middle, he says his bracha, Asher Nosalon HaTorah SMS, and he leaves the bima. It sounds like he doesn't want to hear these klolos. It sounds like he's heard enough, so to speak, and therefore he says, I can't carry on with this, I'm finishing off and I'm walking away from it. And you're not allowed to do anything which demonstrates, the other's a pasuk, Al Tokot Spo Tochochos, the Gemara brings down psukim, that because of that you're not allowed to do anything which demonstrates a disdain for Toichocha. A person has, in Perek and Vov, in Perek and Yal Torah of Ovois, the 32nd middah of Kinyan HaTorah is Oye Vasatoichochos, to love Toichocha. Well, that's a milah d'orvos, that's maybe it's a great thing, but it's a higher madrega. But in Halocha, it's brought down that the consequence in Halacha is that you're not allowed to make a hosofa during the Toichocha, that you're not allowed to do anything, Rashi says it quite clearly there, you're not allowed to do anything which demonstrates or indicates that I don't fancy hearing these klolos, I can't take it, so to speak. And there is a consequence to that in Halacha as well. And that is, I think we'll move on first to one other Gemara, and then we'll move on to a consequence. There's another Gemara which says as follows: we cannot underestimate the power of klola. We cannot underestimate the power hachaim va'amoves biyad haloshein. And there is no doubt that if a person utters a klola and he spews it out, that it can have an effect on the people around him. It's like a plague. It's like a virus. It's a spiritual virus, so to speak, but there's no doubt about it that in we'll see in a moment, a sign in the Gemara, a sign in Halacha, that there is an effect which can happen as a result of being close to somebody who gives a klola. Obviously we know that a person could be chayav misa for saying a klola. Mekalel oviv ve'imoy is mos yumos. Mekalel es Hashem is mos yumos, could be chayav misa. A person who curses his fellow man is lo sakal el cheresh, is over a lav. And the Gemara says, why does it say cheresh? Because even if he doesn't mind, even if he's like a cheresh, he doesn't bother him at all. He takes no notice whatsoever of what you say. He says, carry on, you can say what you like. Aval pikein, the halacha is that you're over in love. So mitzad, the person who's cursing, you're not allowed to do it. Mitzad, the recipient, there's a Gemara in Shavuos that says as follows. The Mishnah says in Shavuos that what would happen if a person wants somebody else to come to Beis Din to give eidos for him, and that person doesn't want to come. So what does he do? He does what's called a Shavuos Ha'olah. He curses him. He says to him, if you don't come to Beis Din and give eidos on my behalf, then Yakcha Hashem Bashachef, as he starts quoting the Tzechocha at him. Says the Gemara, that is the Shavuos Ha'olah. Says the Gemara that there was a Rabbi Yehuda was sitting in front of, I can't remember who it was, but I think it was Rav Kahana who was sitting in front of Rabbi Yehuda, and he said over this Mishnah. He said over the Mishnah where the Mishnah describes how one person, a Baal Din, says to the aide, may God strike you down, Vashachefes uvakadachas, etc., etc. And he was saying over the Mishnah to Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda said, stop, kane, change the language. Jake, don't say to me, so to speak, you're repeating the Mishnah, but as you're repeating the Mishnah, Rav Kahana is saying to Rabbi Yehuda, may God strike you down, Yakcha Hashem. I know he's speaking in the third person about the aide, about the Baldin who's speaking to the aide, but effectively the word that he was saying towards his Rebbe was, may God Yakcha Hashem Bashachefes. So therefore the Rebbe said to him, Kanei, change it, speak about somebody else. Say, may God strike someone else down, may God strike our enemies down, or something like that, in order. And later on it says there was another case where they were simply learning a posuk. It was again Rav Kahana who was learning with the Talmud. And they were learning a posuk, and the posuk says, Gam el yitotz kol anetzach, God will shatter you for eternity. And the Talmud said that to Rav Kahana. And Rav Kahana said, don't speak like that to me. I know we're learning a posuk. They were simply learning a posuk. They were learning the translation. Don't speak like that to me, because you're so to speak cursing me. Kane, change the language. Says the Chochma Shlomo on his Pirush on Shulchan Aruch, Shlomo Kluga. He says when you're learning a posuk or you're learning a Mishnah, then you can change the language, so to speak. But when you're learning the Torah in Shul, you can't change the language. You're stuck with the language, and therefore, when the Baal Kohar is standing in front of the shul, and he is saying, Yakcha Hashem Bashachefes Uvakadachas, he has no choice but to line it exactly as it is. And this actually has a very, very interesting consequence in Halacha. In Simon Kuf Chof Ches, in Hilchas Kiddush HaChodesh, in Hilchas Kiddush Levona. In the Kiddush Levona, we all say, Shalom Aleichem, three times, and we get an answer, Aleichem Shalom. Why is that? Why do we say Shalom Aleichem, Aleichem Shalom in the middle of Kiddush Levona? Says the Prisha on the Torah, says the Mogid Avraham on Shulchan Aruch brought down in the Mishnah Berurah. The reason is because a minute ago you threw out a curse at everybody. You said Tipal Aleichem Amoso Afachat three times over to everybody present, and then you said it in reverse, Ka'ovid Yid Mazoreachol. So six times over, you've just cursed everybody who's around you. Your kavanah isn't to curse the people around you, your friends with whom you're saying Kiddush Levona. And Afal Pi Kein, the fact that you've thrown it into the air, it somehow seems to have some effect, and therefore you have to negate that. The antidote is to say to your friend, Shalom Aleichem. You say to him, Shalom Aleichem, I don't mean you. It wasn't you I was thinking about. I was speaking about Sonia Shal Yisrael. I was speaking about the Goyim, so to speak. And that's why you say Shalom Aleichem, Azoi, Ben-Kabrent, in the Prisha and in the Mogen Avron. In fact, a couple of days ago I was walking to Shul and I was just thinking this thought over. It occurred to me that it could be that we say Tipal Aleichem Emoso Vafachat three times forward, and then we say it's three times backwards, Ka'ovid Yisroecho. Maybe that's why, in order to have an antidote, we have to say Shalom Aleichem three times forward and hear it backwards, Shalom Aleichem back. As an antidote, Aleichem Shalom backwards, in order to have it as an antidote to the Tipal Aleichem Moshe Fachad, forwards for backwards. So what do we see from what we've established till now? Number one is we've got a mitzvah of Kriyas HaToyro. Number two, there is an issur to be moyes b'toychochos. We're not allowed to do anything which rejects toychocho. We have to be acceptive of toychocho. The third thing is that the toychocho carried a special aliyah with it, Bisman Chazal, according to the Beseches Sofrim and the Megillah. And the fourth thing is that there is some sakona associated with being in the vicinity of the klola. How does it work exactly? I don't know. know. I don't know how the internal combustion engine works, but I could drive a car. We don't know these cheshbonos, these celestial cheshbonos. The Ribbono Shel Olam has his calculations as to exactly how it works. Everybody receives exactly as much klal and punishment as he deserves. But what we know is that when we, according to this halacha that we've learned, say the Gemara in Shavuos about the Kaneh, and the halacha, the consequence in Kiddush HaChodesh, in Kiddush Levona, is that these things do have an effect. So now if we examine some of them in Hogim, which are associated with who gets the Aliyah on Toichocha, then some of the questions will become pretty obvious based on what we've just learnt. The Bi'ah Halacha brings down in Simen Tov Chof Ches that there was a minhag which was the most extreme of all minhagim. You've got a full range of minhagim, right from the most extreme halacha minhag, which is what the Bi'ah Halacha brings down, which we're discussing now, which is that there was no Kriyas HaTorah on Parshas B'chukosai ever, and no Kriyas HaTorah on Parshas Kisovoi. Cancelled. No Kriyas HaTorah this week. You get home early. That was the one extreme minhag. And then you go to another extreme minhag, which is the minhag in Amsterdam and other places, which is that it's a regular Shabbos, you just call up regular Aliyahs, there's no change whatsoever. And in between that, we have a number of other minhagim, which we're going to look at now. The first one, as I said, the Bi'ah Halacha brings down that there were kehillas where they were mevatel Kriyas HaTorah. And the Bi'ah Halacha speaks very strongly against it. He says it's obvious. He says that Moshe Rabbeinu made a takona that we should line the Seder every week, and this kehillah is abolishing that takona. And also, we've got a issue of being moyes for Toichochos. You can't have a greater expression of rejection of Toichocho than to say, because there's a Toichocho in the Seder, we're going to cancel the whole of lining. And then he says, and how stupid can you get, he says, do the people really think that because they won't read the Teichochos it won't happen? He gives a moshel. He says a man had to go from A to B through a jungle, and he was told that the natives in the jungle have dug holes in underneath the path, and there are man traps down there. They're camouflaged with branches on the top, and there are stakes inside, and the stakes are tipped with poison. And if you tread on the right on the wrong place, so to speak, then you'll fall into this man trap, be impaled on stakes, and die a very, very painful death. One will fall in. Yeah. I told you, you're getting it as it is, yeah? So what did the man say? He said, I've got a problem, I've got to get from A to B, yeah, and yet I've got this risk. What will I do? I'll blindfold myself. Because if I don't see, I don't have to know about it. I can ignore it completely. And he said, and nobody will be able to criticize me if I actually miss my footing, don't spot the trap, and end up inside the hole. Because it's not my fault, I was blindfolded, I couldn't have seen anyway. Says the Chofetz Chaim, that the nimshel is obvious. You can't bury your head in the sand and hope. He said, adarabba, the very fact that you're cancelling Kriyas HaTorah because of the Toichocha is making things worse for you. It's making you more deserve of klal. He says, he wants to be melamed zchus on those kehillas, so he suggests maybe that they were worried that it would become a public, nobody would want to have the aliyah, and therefore people would be arguing. You get people called up, they won't want to go, and people would be fighting his shul as to who doesn't get the aliyah, etc., and therefore for that reason. But one has to understand maybe what was the svara. Another minhag that there is, which is a minhag in many kehillas, especially Hasidic kehillas, is that the lining of the Toichocha takes place without a bracha at the beginning or at the end. So what happens is that, let's say, if B'chukaisa was a regular shlishi, then the shlishi would be oile, he would line the five psukim up to the Toichocha. Then he says, Hashem Osalon HaTorah Semes V'chayi Olam L'Tav B'Sacheinu, and that's the end of his aliyah, so to speak, in terms of the bracha. And then the Baal Korah carries on lining the Toichocha without a bracha Tchila V'Sof, and Revi is the next aliyah. Problem with that again is that seems to be connected the Brisa in the Sefer Sofrim and the Bishalmi Megillah that we learnt, which said that Dafka the Toichocha was the one Bisman Chazal that had an aliyah. There was an extra aliyah specifically for, and these are some of the criticisms, but they're not my criticisms, they're not my kashas, they're all brought down in the poskim. Then, as we said earlier, there was a minhag that the Rav was oile, that they gave the aliyah to the Rav, in order to think about. But I haven't really seen any criticism. It seems to be a good minhag that one should call up the Rav, because the Rav is the one who is Roy-like.
Yeah.
He's the one who's going to what's good, especially if he is if he's the Baal Torah himself. The Arizal, he was makpid to learn himself. He was the Baal Torah, though he wasn't a regular Baal Torah, but the Teichocha, he was Ola, and he read the Teichocha, and that's the minhag in some places. Again, we mentioned, and the Mishnah Berurah brings it down, that it's a good minhag, which is that the Baal Torah gets the Aliyah. And the Baal Torah getting Aliyah seems to be a pretty good minhag, except that it seems to be a bit of a raw deal for the Baal Torah. There's another minhag which is brought down, and that is the Maharil says that the Shamash gets the Aliyah. And he says that it's a condition in the employment of the Shamash, that if you want to be the Shamash in our community, then what goes with it is that you're Ola twice a year, and you get the Teichocha. And again, the kashas that they ask on that is, first of all, Nebuch, this Shamash needs a job, and therefore you're, so to speak, tagging on this Aliyah that nobody wants, which isn't very fair on him. And secondly, the Mefarshim ask that whenever you give the Teichocha specifically to somebody who is lower in the echelons of society, it sounds like the Mechabodim are the ones who are saying, well, I can get away with it, I don't need to be Ola. It sounds like they are Mois Betochochos, and therefore I get away with it by giving it to somebody who isn't of the same social standing as the Mechabodim. There was another minhag, which was that they paid an oni. They paid an oni ve'evyon that he should get the aliyah. They actually gave money, they arranged what's called the Sholem Eshiv, even has a tshuva in which he discusses whether or not there would be an issa of schar Shabbos, that he's earning the money for getting an aliyah on Shabbos. And he discusses exactly why it's not. But the point there is that they used to pay somebody to take this aliyah. And the Maharil apparently was in a shul once where they paid somebody and they called up this oni ve'evyon. And the Maharil got very annoyed about it, and he went up to the oni and he told him off. And he said to him, you seem to be somebody who is already suffering as a result of the klolos, so why do you become a candidate to take even more of them? And so that's what he said. It's brought down in the Tamei Amnagim in the notes at the bottom that actually happened. In another place it says it's a bezoyin ha-Torah. One of the Mefarshim says he considers it a bezoyin ha-Torah that we should call up somebody to the Torah who is going to be dressed in rags, in torn clothes, in frayed clothes. In other words, the mamash, the oni ve'evyon, it seems like the very, very, the most desperate of the aniyim was the one who needed the money in order to get this aliyah. There are two minhagim about the gaboim. There's one minhag which says that the gaboim should remain in place during the Teichocha, and there's another minhag which says that the gaboim should actually leave the what's called the Agra Tekale. He brings down that it was his minhag that the gaboim, basically the Rav lined the Teichocha, he was Oyla, he lined, he was there on his own. And everybody else who didn't need to be around the Bima during the Teichocha left. And again, we'll explain exactly what the Kavanas are in that. Interestingly, there's a Shaila Sechus by Yitzchak Yosef, who also says, and what about the previous Aliyah, the Levi who had the previous Aliyah, who normally stands at the side until the next Aliyah, says he should zecher go down. There's no reason why he needs to stand there, so to speak, unless you say that that's the minhag. The final thing that we look at is the Remor. The Remor brings down that the Gabba should say, Yamoid mi sheyirtze. Whoever wants this Aliyah should come. And the Mefarshim discuss it, because they say it doesn't make sense. The Bihalocha discusses it, and the Machtzis HaShekel discusses it, as to whether it means, the Machtzis HaShekel says it means literally, that the Gabba will stand there and say, whoever would like this Aliyah, please approach the Bima. And the Bihalocha says it doesn't make sense, because nobody's going to want to go. And it'll be a bezoyin for the Torah that the Torah is standing there, and the Baal Korah is waiting, and the Gaboim are waiting, and nobody actually wants to come and approach the Torah for an Aliyah. Therefore, the Bihalocha says that what it means is, Yamoid Mishietza means that the Gabba should go around before lining and arrange with somebody, find a candidate, and arrange with somebody that he should go up. Yamoid Mishietza means somebody that the Gabba has arranged. Maybe he won't mention his name, but it's the person with whom I've arranged is going to have this Aliyah. And again, the Kasha goes back again, which is, well, who's going to agree?
What happens if many people go up?
If many people go up, yeah. So I want to offer you a suggestion as to how this all works, and with that maybe you're going to get a little bit of an idea as to, you know, as to maybe, it's a machshava. I said it over in Reb Chaim's Beis Medrash last week, I discussed it with Reb Chaim during the week, and it's a possibility. On Yom Tov on Pesach, my father asked me to go with him in order to visit an elderly man who's a friend of his from many years ago, who is now housebound. And we were sitting there in this man's house, and we were chatting on Pesach about various things. And he said that he is housebound and he can't go to shul, but Baruch Hashem, he's got a siddur, he's got a machzor, he can daven at home, and he davens at home at the same time as the shul davens. But one thing bothers him, he said, and that is that he misses out on Birchas Kohanim, on Duchanan. On Duchanan, I can't get to shul unless I miss out on Birchas Kohanim. And I said to him, because I had not long ago learnt a Gemara in Sota Daf Lamates. The Gemara in Sota says as follows, V'chein nifsak la'alocha, it's a clear halocha which is possible like that. That if the Kohanim are standing in the base of Medrash in this position, and they're benching Klal Yisrael, then everybody has to come around to be in front of them, at least to the sides equivalent to them, but to be in front, in order to indicate that they want to receive the bracha from the Kohen. If somebody stands at the back over there, or he turns his back to the Kohanim, he looks towards the wall, then the halacha is that they are not bichlal bracha. They do not receive the bracha, because they've indicated that they don't want to be part of it. On the other hand, says the Gemara, Am Shabbosodois, that people who are at work, in the Eretz Yisrael, they duchen every day, even on a weekday. It says if somebody has to be at work and can't make it to Shacharis in the morning because of his employment, then he is Bichlal Lebrocha, even though he's miles away and turned the other direction, and there are many mechitzas in between, doesn't make any difference. The Brocha goes to him. Baruch Hashem, we had the steer this week that we made a pigeon aben for a grandson. And those people who were at the pigeon aben itself, they grab the sugar and the knobel and all the skulas in order to benefit from the mitzvah. And there were one or two people who couldn't make it because they were incapacitated through illness, through age, whatever it was. So for them, we took the knobel and we took the sugar to them at home. In other words, if you're incapacitated, if you've got a reason why you can't, you're an onus, then an onus gets the brocha anyway. So it occurred to me possibly that one has to say exactly the same in a mirror image form, in the converse. I'm here in shul, and it's Parshas Bechukosai. And we're going to learn the Teuchochus. And we've just learned that the Teuchochus can have an adverse effect, however you understand it, on the people around. I don't want to be here, but I have no choice. The best thing would be I would go out, far away from the person who's giving the klala, and then it would have no effect on me. But I can't. I'm onus. I have to be here. There's a mitzvah kriya satoria, I've got nalia, whatever it is. If you're an onus, then the Rebbein Shem should say that it's as if you're outside. The klala will have no effect on you. And it's like, for instance, we've still got a minute, right? If Dr. Harris gets a call from a patient, and he says, I'm coughing, and I'm spluttering, and I've got temperature, etc., etc., and I've just come back from Mexico. He says, would you examine me and determine whether or not? So, and I'm coming in, I'm on my way into the surgery. So the doctor's inclination is, I don't want to get swine flu, I think I'll go home. On the other hand, he has no choice. He's got to be in the surgery to examine the patient. He doesn't have any choice. He's got to be there. Therefore, in spiritual language, he would daven to the Rebbein Hashem. I have to be here. I have no choice. Yeah. But halavai, the klala, the curse, the effect of the swine flu, if he's got it, shouldn't happen to me. Now, if you go back and you examine our minhogim, right, then it becomes a little bit easier. Anybody who is onus, who has no choice but to be there at the time, is exempt from the klala. If you have to be in the base of Medrash at the time, or you have to be at the bima at the time, in front of the Sefer Torah, because you're lining, or because you've got an aliyah, or because you are a gabba, then those people are not bichlal the klala, because the Rebbein Shem will say, you're an onus. If you're an onus, I'm exempt from the klala. And therefore, if you follow it through with all the various minhogim, most of them fit quite nicely, that you should be exempt from the klala because you are an onus. But the Rav, Masechah Sofrim says, the Rav has to have that aliyah. Therefore the Rav is oyle. I'm an onus, I have no choice in the matter. We have to line, somebody has to be a Bal Koriah. Somebody has to read from the Torah. The Bal Koriah is an onus, therefore he doesn't have to worry about the klola. The Shamash and the Oni are no worse than the Amsha Besodois, the people who are outside during Birchas Kohanim, because of their panosah. The Shamash needs the job, and the Oni needs the money. And therefore, he is an onus in that way, that he has to be there in order order to in order for hispanosa, and therefore we can say that the klal doesn't have any effect. If you hold that the gaboim have to stand on either side, the Vilna Gaon had kahalten that during the klonas dafka that there should be two gaboim present. Why? Because the halacha is that whenever you warn somebody not to do an aveira or else, hasra has to be be'edim. It says, "Haidoisi b'chem ayoyim es hashmayim es oretz, ha'chaim v'hamov es nosati lefonecho," says the Vilna Gaon, therefore two gaboim have to be present whilst the balkoyer is reading out the klonas, as edim for the hasra. Other people of the Omgehalten, as the Gaboim don't have to be there. If the Gaboim don't have to be there, it's not compulsory, like the person who had the Aliyah before, then better that they should go down. Because if you're not onus, if it's not compulsory for you to be there, then you can leave, and you've got no reason to be there. And the same thing with the Ramah, I think. When the Ramah says, Yamoid Mishi Yotze, and we asked, how do you understand Yama Mishiyetzeh? Who is going to volunteer for this aliyah? So he said the Gaba is going to, according to the Bi'al Locha, the Gaba should go around and he should have a look to see whether or not anybody will agree. We said, who will agree? The answer is, I think, maybe, according to what we're saying, that he looks for an onus. He'll look for somebody who's a chiev, somebody who's got yahrzeit, somebody who needs the bench goimel, somebody who's had a child, and he'll say to him, you have to have an aliyah. If you have to have an aliyah, then when I call you up, you will be an onus. If you're an onus, you don't need to worry about the klolus, and therefore he'll find his volunteer that way. That's how he'll find his volunteer. And those kehillahs, where they held that we line as regular, and we don't do any change whatsoever, is because once the person has been called up, he is an onus. There's an issa not to accept the aliyah if you're called up. It says Hashronis Katsuyomov. And therefore, if a person is an onus, he doesn't need to worry about the klolah. And that's why we can understand most of our minhogim. The Baruch Hashem should help us that everybody should be zeicha only to brocha, never to klolah. The Baruch Hashem should help us that all the klolahs should be turned into brochas. And we just get to the kingdom of Yomeinu Amen.